Welcome to episode 403 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and I'm your only host tonight. We've been trying to do a better job of having at least two hosts for you guys, but Richard got really, really sick, and he didn't want to suffer through that, and he didn't want to make you guys suffer through that. And, you know, the problem with sickness as opposed to, like, travel and things like that is it kind of sneaks up on you. So tried to rearrange some things and get another co-host in here for you, but it didn't quite work out. But still, plenty of fun stuff for us to be talking about tonight across the entire Microsoft Entertainment technology spectrum, including audio, video, gaming, and more. So fortunately, even though I'm the only host on the show tonight, I'm not the only one you're going to be hearing from, because we got some listener feedback. This is from Rob. He sent us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. He said, I wanted to give a brief defense of the game ReCore after the bashing it received during the last episode. First off, ReCore is a fun game. It's challenging, has some great platforming elements, and has a great aesthetic and artistic style, albeit there's very little diversity of environments beyond desert. Also, finishing all of the challenge caves adds tons of additional playtime. Some people call the game repetitive, but those same people play first-person shooters or driving games and don't find those repetitive, so I don't know how to respond to that criticism. The problem with ReCore has nothing to do with the game and everything to do with the way Microsoft marketed it. This is a game that belongs in the ranks of Ori and the Blind Forest, an absolutely fun game worth every bit of the money. Remember, this, and by this he means ReCore, was priced at $40 initially and was an absolute steal at $15 during the Christmas sale, but in no way should have been used as one of their exclusive pillars in all their ads. Microsoft should have either bumped the development up to more of a Horizon Zero Dawn level or tone down the marketing to manage the expectations. If Microsoft could have put Ori, Inside, Cuphead, and ReCore all together to show their AA games lineup, I think that would have been a much more compelling story to tell than trying to put ReCore up here in the same category with Gears of War 4. He's got more to say here, but I'm just going to respond to this right now. So first off, I don't feel like I bashed the game itself of ReCore last week. I mean, I did talk about how it was basically shipped incomplete, and I stand by that. But I'm not saying that it's a bad game. I haven't even really played it yet. I've played it for like a half an hour. I own it. I bought it with my money and plan to play it. But they mentioned months ago at this point that they were going to release an HDR upgrade. And so that's what I've been waiting for. And then the rumors of this definitive edition start coming out. So I'm waiting even longer because I'm going to wait to see if that becomes free. And then I'll play the complete game instead of just playing the partial game they originally shipped. But I don't doubt that it's a really fun game. That's why I bought it. I'm really excited about it too. And I mostly agree with you on the marketing aspects of this. Now, I don't think that the idea of, you know, bumping up the development to get it to the level of Horizon Zero Dawn, like that, I don't think that was going to be possible. The team was too small. That's just not what this game is going to be. Horizon Zero Dawn looks amazing, and it's in a completely different ballpark than this game. Not to say that that's a bad thing. Different games do different things, but that's not what ReCore was ever going to be. Trying to pitch this as, you know, some huge exclusive like Gears of War, yeah, that didn't really make a lot of sense for sure. So I mostly agree with you on all these things, but I do want to say that I don't agree that this game belongs in the ranks of Ori and the Blind Forest. Ori and the Blind Forest was on another level. That was my game of the year for 2015. And I know I haven't played ReCore yet, but I've talked to enough people whose opinions are similar to mine or whose are opinions that I value to know that when I do play this game, I'm probably going to like it, but I'm not going to like it as much as I loved Ori and the Blind Forest for a lot of reasons. They're very different games. It's not going to happen, and that's okay. Not every game needs to be Game of the Year candidates for me. So that's it for ReCore. We'll move on. He says, also, with the announcement of the Scorpio specs, which teaser, that's the main story this week, the narrative now seems to have changed that it won't matter since there's no games to play. What he's saying here is that there's a bunch of people in Twitter, on Reddit, and all these places saying that everyone's complaining that there aren't any games, that Microsoft has no more exclusives, and PlayStation's got all the exclusives. So he goes on to say, what's your guys' take on the apparent lack of exclusives on the Xbox? With my 20-plus game backlog, I'm not really feeling it. Also, the majority of PlayStation 4's exclusives announced during last year's E3 won't have a release date until at least next year, and some, like Death Stranding, even further out than that. So it's hard for me to take those games seriously when, at the rate we're going, we might be on the PS4 Pro Plus 20-year edition before they release. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for that email. So, I've seen a lot of the complaining out there that Microsoft doesn't have any more exclusives, or they have exclusives, but the only ones that they have are Forza and Halo and Gears. Well, I don't know that that's entirely true. We got a completely different Halo game this year. We got a Halo Wars that's not a first-person shooter. Like, we are going to get another Forza game this fall, for sure. Like, there's no doubt about that. But that's not it. And although I'm blanking trying to think of other ones, because some of the other ones that I was excited about got canceled, like Scalebound. But, oh, there's Crackdown. Crackdown is coming out this year. Crackdown was amazing on the Xbox 360. I'm really excited about that. There's an awesome exclusive for you. I'm sure there are others that I'm not thinking of because my brain is going crazy from this insane day. But there's going to be plenty. And I guess the thing to remember is these things go in waves. Like, does anybody remember last year when there was a Gears of War game? And ReCore, I know ReCore is not that big of a deal, but like, think about some of these other either timed exclusives or major exclusives we've had. Ori and the Blind Forest, phenomenal. Tomb Raider, we had exclusively for like a year, I think. There's, of course, Gears of War. Forza Horizon is the best non-sim racing game available, period. Forza Motorsport is arguably the best racing sim available on anything, period. I'm struggling to remember all of them, but I remember, I think it was the 2015 fall season, when it was like five major exclusives all coming out on the Xbox. And that year, PlayStation had nothing. And I think the one other thing to remember here is the track record that we've seen between Microsoft and Sony is Sony comes out on stage at E3 and says, look at all these amazing games we have. They'll be out in 3 years. And Microsoft comes out on stage and for the most part says, look at all these amazing games we have. They'll be out within a year. Now, that's not always true. You know, they announced Scalebound in 2014, I think. And then it got, maybe it was 2015. It was 2015. And then it got canceled at the end of 2016 or something like that. Maybe it was the beginning of this year. You know, so they announced that one way out. They announced Crackdown 3 way too early. You know, they announced Fable Legends and then canceled that, but it was a game that nobody wanted anyway, so who cares? Like, Microsoft hasn't been perfect, but by and large, they're announcing games and then they're coming out soonish. So is Sony going to have, you know, the windfall of exclusives this year? Maybe, but we're not just buying games for a single year. We've got these consoles for five-ish years. It's not a big deal. You're going to get the games you want. And if you're into these exclusives, you're going to have the console either way. And all of the other games like the Final Fantasy 15s and the Call of Duties and the Battlefields and all that stuff, they're on both platforms anyway. So, yeah, I'm not all that concerned about the exclusive game situation. Anyway, thank you to Rob for writing in this week. He did that via our email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. gmail.com. So you can send us a message for next week, just like Rob did. All right, so let's move on to the biggest story of the week by far. I want to preface this a little bit. This is the Xbox Scorpio tech spec release. What I want to preface this with is I had mentioned 3-4 weeks ago that I thought Microsoft would actually have a Scorpio announcement before E3. I think that's what this was. I had kind of figured that it would actually be the full console like launch announcement with the name, what it looks like, the price, and the specs. And then they could use E3 to basically just talk about games. At this point, I don't think that's the case. I think this tech spec reveal that we got last week was the early announcement. And for everything else, probably going to be waiting for E3. So what did we find out about? How did we find out about this? Well, Microsoft invited the Digital Foundry guys from Eurogamer out to their offices to show them the goods. They showed them the actual hardware. It doesn't sound like they showed them the case and all that stuff. So they didn't get all of that. But they wanted to show these guys just how powerful this thing is. And the reason they invited the Digital Foundry guys is these guys know hardware. Like, I don't think there's anybody in this industry that understands hardware. And by in this industry, I mean games media, games journalism. I don't think there's anybody that understands the hardware and all of the intricate science, the computer science stuff that goes into this as well as the Digital Foundry guys. And maybe there are, but I don't think there's anybody who can write about it in a way that normal people can understand as well as these guys do. So I think that's why they flew them out there, and they did fly them out there. Microsoft paid to fly these guys out, put them up in a hotel or whatever. So absolutely, it's fair to take that with a grain of salt if this article seemed to be high in praise and pretty low in criticism. In fact, I can't think of any criticism in this article. So if you want to take that as your grain of salt and chuck some of this out the window, that's fine and fair, I guess. But what they came back with was nothing short of amazing. When Microsoft announced Scorpio at E3 last year, I remember watching it over lunch with a bunch of my coworkers, being amazed, and then kind of consuming it, you know, turning it over in our heads while we watched the rest of it, and then talking about it afterwards and thinking, there's no way that this is actually going to do 4K. You know, this is around the time that the GTX 1080 video cards were being announced, and even the 1080 wasn't really doing full 4K on a lot of games for people. And the GTX 1080 video cards, just the video cards, were $600. So how could Microsoft even pretend that they were going to be able to produce a game console at a reasonable price that could do actual 4K games? Because at the time, we're looking at the PC games market and thinking, you need a $2,000 computer to do real 4K. And there's just no way. And guys, they did it. They totally figured this out. And it's insane. I'm not going to go into all of the crazy tech specs and stuff. I will go through a few of them quickly for you. It's an 8-core processor still. It's still based on the same AMD processor technology that the original Xbox One and Xbox One S were developed on. It's not the new Ryzen or however AMD pronounces the new thing. It's not based on that. They've taken the older CPU and optimized the ever-living crap out of it. They also bumped up the clock speed. So it's an 8-core, 2.3 gigahertz processor, which is significantly faster than the original Xbox One and even the PlayStation 4 Pro. They've got 12 gigs of GDDR5 for the RAM. Like, that's the crazy fast RAM that they use on these top-of-the-line video cards. That's the system RAM. I mean, I guess it's also the graphics RAM too, but it's combined and crazy fast and tons of it. You're talking memory bandwidth of 326 gigabits per second. These aren't numbers that I really knew much about before reading this article, but you should go and read it because it's interesting. And it's crazy to look at what they were able to do to achieve these numbers and how much higher these numbers are than the competition. You're not going to be stuck with a 500 gig hard drive anymore. It's going to ship with a 1 terabyte hard drive. It's not SSD because a 1 terabyte SSD would be like $500 on its own. And of course, it's still going to have a 4K UHD Blu-ray drive in it like the Xbox One S has. That hard drive, it's not just bigger, it's faster. They're saying 50% increase in bandwidth, so your games are going to load faster. That's a really big deal. I'm betting that all they did was change it from using SATA 2 to SATA 3. That's all they really needed to do to get these faster speeds, because it's not SSD and it's probably not a hybrid drive, or else they would have said that. So, like, it's easy for me to just say, because, you know, I'm the Microsoft fanboy, that, of course, they did actually achieve 60 frames per second native 4K content. But the guys at Digital Foundry saw it, because what Microsoft did is they worked with the Turn 10 Studios guys, the people who make Forza, and took the technology from Forza Motorsport 6 and jammed it full of 4K assets and then rendered it at 4K at 60 frames per second with all of the stuff going on that you would normally have going on in a Forza game. Forza is amazing because they have crazy amounts of physics calculations going on all the time. All of this stuff for the AI, they've added dynamic weather stuff. All of that was still going on, and they were running Forza at 4K, real 4K, 60 frames per second, and still had a bunch of headroom. Like, they said that they were only at 60 to 70% processor utilization. This thing's brand new. It's not even out. And they're already, like, achieving way more than we ever thought possible. And it's not even out yet. This is pretty impressive stuff. And it's gotten me way more excited than I even originally was. Because for a while I was thinking, okay, it's definitely gonna run things at a higher frame rate, and it's gonna run things at a higher resolution. But is it gonna be that significant? Like, how could it be? Because of those previous conversations that we had comparing it to computer GPUs and stuff. But it looks like they've done it. And you're just gonna have to, if you haven't read this article yet, we've got the link to it in the show notes. You really need to go and read it, because it's really impressive to see how they were able to achieve what they've achieved. So I'm super, super excited about this. A couple of other quick things. It's going to do Atmos. It's going to have the Atmos for headphones profile. But fortunately, that stuff, it's built into the audio processing unit that's in the current Xboxes. So even if you don't get a Scorpio, you're going to get all that Atmos goodness on all of the Xbox Ones. If you're a big fan of game DVR, the Scorpio is going to record your games in 4K, 60 frames per second for you without it impacting your gameplay. It's just going to work. We were talking recently that we were worried that maybe Microsoft is just going to kill off all of the TV functionality. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, because the Scorpio has an HDMI input, just like all of the other Xbox Ones. So you are still going to be able to route TV stuff through your Xbox Scorpio, even if you can't snap it or picture in picture. And then if you don't have a 4K TV and don't have immediate plans to buy one, there's still going to be reason to get a Scorpio, because it's going to run your 1080p games faster. Like, we kind of knew that. Like, you're not going to have issues with frame rates on a 1080p game. But what it's also going to be able to do is render them at 4K, and then what they call super sampling, and we've seen this on like some digital cameras on phones and stuff like that, where they take a higher resolution image and then make an even better looking lower resolution image out of it. They call it super sampling. I don't completely understand how it works, but we've seen it in other places, and it's good. And the nice thing here is that the Scorpio will do that at the system level. The game developers don't have to code for that. they're not going to have to make changes to the games to make it support that. So Scorpio is going to be awesome if you've got a 4K TV and awesome if you've got a 1080p TV. It's going to be great. So what do we want to know? How much does it cost? That's the big thing, right? It can't be $900. It can't be $800. Like this, we know it's going to be more than an Xbox One S, but how much more? What I'm hoping for is that Microsoft is going to realize that one of the reasons that the PlayStation got so far ahead of them this generation was price. When the Xbox One launched, it was $100 more than the PS4. Now, that was primarily due to the fact that it included the Kinect, but money matters. And when people walk into a store to buy a game console, they're going to buy the cheaper one a lot of times. Not always, because some of you do really care about other features and exclusives and things like that. But money matters. So if they can sell this for the same price as the PlayStation 4 Pro, $400, I know that's a little bit of a dream, guys, but it's possible. It's possible. They would be taking a loss, but that's nothing new for video game consoles. If they can sell this for $400, I think it's going to be huge. Huge. So we'll see. I'm hoping for four. It might be five. If it goes up more than five, I don't think I'm going to be buying one. If it's under five, I'm probably going to be buying one. If it's four, I'm definitely buying one. So we'll see in June when the E3 announcement comes. And we'll have to just hold our breath until then, I guess. All right, guys, we do this show live typically Tuesday nights. In fact, we're actually doing it on a Tuesday night tonight. It's typically around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And now we're using Beam, the same streaming technology that's built into your Xbox. It's built into Windows 10 if you've got the Creators Update. We're using that to broadcast to you guys. Come to our website, check it out. We've got a chat room for you guys to interact back with us, toss your questions at us during the show. It doesn't get more real time than that. It's a lot of fun for us, and I think it's a lot of fun for you guys too. So follow us on Twitter at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone, to know for sure when we're broadcasting live, and then come and join us as we record the show every week, typically Tuesday nights. All right, let's move on to some video news. I'm going to be honest. This seems like big news, this next story, but I don't really know a lot about it because it's a UK thing. See, in the UK, they've got this service called TV Player. There's no space. It's just TV Player. And it sounds similar to something like Sling TV or PlayStation View or what's the Dish one? Dish Now or something like that, where this is an online subscription TV service, but it's probably not that big, because the cost is way, way less. It's £5.99 a month, but it does offer pay TV channels. The link that I'm getting this is from it's supposed to be on Microsoft, but you know, get rid of all the vowels because web 2.0. they say that this service provides pay TV channels from services like Sky and Virgin Media and other places like that. And I know enough about the UK to know that those are paid TV providers. So, it, you know, I think of things like AMC and things like that that we can only get on cable here. Paid TV channels available over the internet. Okay. It's not a brand new thing, but it's a cool thing. And they've got a new app. They've had apps on lots of platforms, but now they have an app that runs on your Xbox One. So, and Windows 10 mobile, for whatever that's worth, I guess. The big deal here, really, it runs on the Xbox, where you want to be watching all of your videos anyway. Here's another really cool thing about this service. You're paying for it, and there's no ads. You know, maybe this is more like Hulu, but like truly commercial-free Hulu. Maybe that's how this is, but I don't really know because I can't try it out because I'm in the United States. But this sounds great, and now they've got an app for it on your Xbox One. It's not really much else to say. But go and check this out if you're in the UK or any other place that might have this. But it sounds like it's UK only. If you've got an Xbox One, we talked last week about how with the Creators Update, one of the features that you would eventually be getting was the ability to bitstream, like actually bitstream audio from the Blu-ray player to your receiver. So if you've got an Atmos movie, you would be able to watch it in Atmos, or I guess listen to it in Atmos. Well, they did push that functionality out late last week. We expected it would be late last week. You just had to restart your Xbox. You've probably restarted it by now, I'm guessing. If not, you should take a break. Restart your Xbox, go into the settings, find the section for the Blu-ray settings, and in there, you're going to see an option called Let My Receiver Decode Audio. Turn that on. And then the Xbox doesn't process the audio at all anymore. It just passes it all down to your receiver. That's what bit streaming is. It's saying, take all the bits. I'm not going to touch them. I'm going to stream them to the next device. And in this case, that's your audio video receiver, probably. It is if you care about this sort of thing, at least. And then your receiver is able to fully do all of that audio decoding, figure out all of that Atmos-y goodness and what speakers to send all of the different sounds through. It's great, or so I hear. I've only heard it at trade shows. I don't have Atmos yet, and probably won't for a really, really long time. But definitely check this out. If you do have an Atmos receiver and you've been waiting for this, you need to go and enable this now and check it out and let us know how you like it. It ought to be the same as any other thing because it's just bit streaming. It's not mangling anything. One important thing to note here, though, is this is just for Blu-rays, guys. This is only for your movies. We've talked about Atmos coming to games, and it is. It's just not here yet. Right now, it's just for your movies, and that's great, too. And we'll let you know when they've turned this on for games and when games have been released to actually support Atmos and things like that. We're going to move on to gaming. I know it sounds like we've been doing gaming all night. This is the last gaming story, and this is actual gaming. Like, the other stuff has just been the console and video things to do on an Xbox. This is gaming, though, because this is Microsoft's big spring sale. And, you know, we're used to seeing big, huge digital game sales, but there's one thing that's different about this spring sale, and that is it's not just buying digital games. It's not even just buying games. They're also offering a discount on their Design Lab controllers. That's the controllers where you can go in and customize how they look, where you go in and you pick, you know, what color do you want the top of the case? What color do you want the bottom of the case? How about the sticks and the buttons and all that stuff? You can make an awesome yellow controller like I did. Normally, that starts at $80, and then it's a $10 edition if you want to get laser engraving or whatever they call it, you know, some message written on your controller. Right now, during this sale, the Design Lab controllers start at $65. They've never gone on sale before. So if you've been thinking about getting a Design Lab controller, there's never been a better time than now. And as a reminder, these are the exact same controllers that you would get with the Xbox One S. So these have the improved wireless connectivity stuff built into them. They have Bluetooth built into them if you want to pair them directly with a computer. They have the more textured but still plastic grips on the back. They're good controllers. Check them out. They're good. And you can get them for cheaper now. The rest of this is games. There's a ton of games on sale. I'm not going to go through all of them. That would be insane. But to get the best deals, you do need to be an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. And, you know, maybe you don't game a ton, so you haven't wanted to pay for that. Well, there's no reason not to, at least for this sale, because, and they've done this before, right now, if you're not currently an Xbox Live Gold subscriber, you can buy a month of it for $1. It's normally $10. Pay a dollar, get the best prices on these games. Here's the ones that I picked out that I think are worth checking out. Dishonored 2. We mentioned this one just a week or two ago because they did that free trial period where you got to play the first three levels. Great game, half off, $30. Here's the one that I play all the time, NHL 17. I've got over 110-ish hours that I'm kind of embarrassed, but not really because I love it. It's $19.80, guys. Go and buy it. Play some hockey with me. I'd love it. Fallout 4, it's a little bit older, but still a great game, also $19.80. Surprisingly, also the DLC is on sale. A lot of times they don't do that, or maybe they'll only sell a version of the game that has all of the DLC on sale. But instead, you know, if you already bought the game, but you didn't buy all of the extra content, now you can buy the extra content for cheaper. Here's another one I own and love, Forza Horizon 3. That game came out last September. It's not super old, guys, and it's still a blast. $21. Gears of War 4, $30. Here's one that I talk about all the time. Life is Strange. Buy this game. It is $6.60 you need to buy this game. And if you haven't, shame on you. Shame on you for not playing Life is Strange yet. Here's another one mentioned previously. Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition, $10. Go and buy that game too. Here's a fun one to play with friends. Overcooked. I talked about this a lot last year, I think. Yeah, it was like last fall. Played this a bunch with friends. Loved it. $10. Great couch co-op game. Quantum Break, another Microsoft exclusive. You know, another one that I totally forgot to mention earlier in the show. $30. ReCore, $20. Titanfall 2, $30. Now, Quantum Break and ReCore, these aren't the best prices we've seen for these games. And if you don't care about digital, like if you're okay buying games physically, especially for games like that that are single player and you might only play once, you can probably find these for cheaper, like from Best Buy or something like that, or Amazon, or just used. You might want to go that route. But if you do buy digitally, they're both Play Anywhere games, so you can play them on your Xbox and on your Windows 10 PCs. So those are all the games that I would recommend, but there's so many more games, guys. Overwatch is in there. Overwatch is a great game. It never goes on sale. It's like $38. Go and check that out. It's lots of fun. All right, that's it for all of our gaming stuff. I'm going to double check through the notes. Yep, that's it. That's it. No more gaming news, I promise, okay? Guys, if you like this show, do us a favor. Subscribe. Make sure you're subscribing. And then head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. We'd love you forever. We really, really appreciate it. It's the best way for you to help us reach more people, and we really appreciate it. If you want to tell some friends verbally and maybe they don't use iPhones, that's okay. We're pretty much everywhere. You can find us in Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, pretty much everywhere. You can find this show and Richard's other show, Home On, in all of those places. And please leave us a rating or review in iTunes. You know, a lot of times we don't have much mobile news to cover. That's not the case this week. And this week, the mobile news, there's good news and there's bad news. And I kind of went back and forth on which one to start with. I'm going to start with the good news. Seemed like a good choice. Start with the good news, right? Right, chat room? We're going to start with the good news. I think this is good news. We've got a new Windows phone coming. I think that's good news, right? That seems like good news. A British phone maker that I've never heard of, maybe because I'm not British and maybe they just don't sell phones over here. They're called Wiley Fox, which is kind of an awesome name. Doesn't sound like a phone company, but it's still a cool name nonetheless. They're making a Windows phone. I don't claim to understand why. Apparently, this company is known for making low-end Android devices. They've decided there's still a lot of use for Windows Phone, especially in the B2B space, the business-to-business space. There's really only one Windows phone that's going after the business marketplace right now, and that's the HP Elite X3. That phone is like $650, something like that. And some businesses, if they're going to outfit their entire staff with a phone, $650 is a lot per device. So Wiley Fox thinks we can make a really good phone for a lot less than that. And so that's what they're planning to do. They haven't announced specs or anything like that, but they are targeting to release this phone in August. So there you go. There's the new Windows phone coming. I have no idea if it's going to be available outside of the UK, but maybe it will be, especially if you're into Windows Phone. And even if it's not, it's not hard to get phones exported from different countries and stuff. So you can check that out. Unfortunately, that's all we have in terms of good news on the Windows mobile front. The last two stories are in the kind of, you know, the last story is mixed, okay? We'll go with mixed for the last story. But this next one, definitely not good. Spotify, you know, that audio service that we talk about all the time around here because Richard and I both love it and pay for it because it's basically the best music service available. Sorry, it's better than Groove, Sorry, Microsoft, but they have more music.
Yeah.
If you're a Windows Phone user, the app's not going away, but it ain't going to be getting any better either. Spotify released a statement, and I'm just going to read this to you guys. It says, Spotify for Windows Phone has been placed into maintenance mode. Thus, we will only be making critical security updates to the current Spotify app and not releasing any new features nor improving support for old devices going forward. Users can continue to use Spotify on previously supported Windows phones, and Spotify will remain on the Windows Store. So this is better than some of the news that we've talked about lately, where companies have said, yeah, we're not going to release new updates and we're going to remove it from the store so that we don't have to support this anymore in case you do decide to get a new phone. Sorry. And where that really hurts is for those of you who are still on Windows 10, because a lot of you who are still on Windows 10 mobile are using insider preview builds. And if you're doing that a lot, you're probably rebuilding your phone a lot, which means reinstalling all of your apps. And if an app isn't in the store anymore, you can't install it again. So at least Spotify has decided to keep it in the store. That's really good news. You're still going to be able to use it. My daughter, she's using my old 1520, and she does use the Spotify app. So I'm glad that it's going to continue to work, but it is a little bit depressing to know that it won't be getting any more updates. Although it's not really that surprising, guys. Sorry. All right, last mobile story, and then we'll be done with this area. And this is the one that's kind of mixed news. Microsoft announced what devices will definitely be getting the Windows 10 Mobile Creators Update. This is coming out later this month. There's 13 phones on this list. A lot of them are ones that you would expect. The Lumia 950 and 950 XL being the most obvious. The HP Elite X3. These are like the two most expensive Windows phones that have been released in the last couple of years. But there's some others on here too. Maybe some others that are somewhat expected. You've got the Alcatel Idol 4S, the Alcatel One Touch Fierce XL. I love the name of that. And any product with the word fierce in it's pretty cool, I guess. Let's see here. What else on here that you're going to recognize? Lumia 550, Lumia 640 and 640 XL, and Lumia 650. Guys, that's it for Lumias. The Trinity Nuance Neo is on this list. Didn't we talk a couple months ago about Nuance Neo Windows Phone not coming out? I'm confused about that one myself. I had forgotten that Vio made a Windows Phone. They did. It's the Vio VPB051. Ooh, with a name like that, I'm sure it's flying off the shelves. Lenovo makes one. Lenovo SoftBank 503LV, another great name. And here's one I've never heard of, this company or this phone. MCJ Madosima? I don't know. Q601. Never, ever heard of this phone. It must be like, maybe this is an Indian market only phone. I'm not really sure. Anyway, these are the phones that are definitely getting the Windows 10 Creators Update for Windows 10 Mobile. There's some popular phones on there that aren't on that list. Lumia 1520, not on this list. Lumia 930, not on the list. But you know what, guys? Those phones are really, really old. They're really old. If you want a new Windows phone, I bet you can get a 950 for pretty cheap at this point. If you're still sticking with a Windows phone, go get a 950 or go get an HP Elite X3. I probably wouldn't even look at some of these other ones. Unless you're just looking for like a cheap phone for your kids, then maybe start looking at the 550 or the 650, I guess. Is anybody like, every time we talk about Windows Phone, I ask, are any of you still using this? I'm not hearing from you guys. Any of you using this stuff still? I want to know. And I want to know why. Because you know how much I loved Windows Phone, and even I moved on to Android. And I know a lot of you have done the same or have moved on to iOS. So I'm curious, those of you who are sticking with it, let us know why. I want to hear your reasoning. Maybe you don't really need the apps and you do just love the experience. Because guys, you know, I've been with Android for almost a year now. Again, you know, I used Android forever ago. There's still a lot of stuff I miss. Like, Google Now is good, And in some ways it's better than Cortana, but in some ways it's not. And in terms of voice control, especially when using it like with Bluetooth in your car or something like that, Android still doesn't beat Windows Phone when it comes to using your phone with your voice in the car. It doesn't. Not even when you're using Android Auto. I'm sorry. If you're trying to receive text messages and make phone calls and stuff like that, it's not better. It's just not better. Cortana still did it better than Android. So I can understand if that's why you're sticking with it, but guys, the apps. There's no apps. And we just keep talking about more of them going away. All right, one more piece of news before we get into what I've been watching and playing and doing in my entertainment center. And that is that with the release of the Windows 10 Creators Update on PCs, which we're recording this on April 11th. That's the day that it released. If you want the Creators Update, you can go and get it right now without having to go into the Insiders program and all that stuff. Anybody can get it now. One of the new things that is now available through that is the ability to buy ebooks through the Windows 10 store. If you haven't done the Creators Update, this isn't going to show up in the store for you yet. But once you have, in addition to apps and games and videos and music, there's now another section for books. And now you can go and buy books from the same store where you're buying all that other stuff from. And if you don't remember, you might be wondering, how do I read these books? You use Edge. And I still think that's kind of weird, but I probably shouldn't make too many judgments about it before trying it. And I haven't actually tried it yet myself. Of course, I'm not that big of a reader, but I'm sure there's at least some free books in there for me to go and check out to see what the experience is like nonetheless. So there you go. You got books in the Windows 10 Creators Update. So that's just yet another form of Microsoft entertainment technology that you can get from Windows 10 Store on all of your Windows 10 PCs. Okay, that's it for our news this week, guys. Let's talk about what I've been watching. Hockey. Not surprising. And you know what? The NHL playoffs start this week. Until the Penguins are out of it, which hopefully they're not out of it until they're hoisting the Stanley Cup in June. But until they're out of it, that's pretty much going to be all that I'm watching, except for maybe the occasional movie, because you know what else comes out? Does it come out this week or did it come out last weekend? I'm not sure, and that makes me a terrible fan, but The Fate of the Furious, the next Fast and the Furious movie, my wife and I are going to try and go see that this weekend. We're going to try. I know we're crazy, but we freaking love those movies, so I might be going to see that this weekend. But other than that, in terms of watching stuff, that's it for me. I've been playing some games. I had promised that I was going to pick up Quantum Break again. Some of you came out and watched Friday night, watched me stream this with Beam. I turned on the Kinect. You got to watch, like, actually see me while I played it. I had fun. I do apologize for any of you that came out and watched it, though, because the problem was that I hadn't played Quantum Break in, like, 3 months, something like that. So I didn't really remember a lot of the controls, so I kept pausing to look at the controls, and I did pretty badly. So hopefully you won't judge me too much on how poorly I played Quantum Break. I did end up playing a lot more of it throughout the rest of the weekend, and I'm almost done. I'm on the last boss, but I'm not very good, and I'm struggling to beat the final mission, but I really want to beat it and watch the ending. This has been a really enjoyable game, guys. Like, Quantum Break took a lot of heat for various issues when it first came out, but guys, it's fun. The story's cool. The graphics are amazing. The ability for them to go from a cutscene to gameplay with absolutely zero, like, harsh transition. Like, it's basically like there's one scene where you're driving a car, and then you get out of the car, like, that's all cutscene. And they're driving, and they park, and they get out of the car. And as they're getting out of the car, the camera very naturally pans around to be behind your character, where it would be when you're playing, because it's a third-person game. And with no transition, just suddenly, you're in control. It's like it never stopped being a cutscene, but it's now game. And it's really smooth, and it's really nice to see. There aren't many games that are doing it, and definitely aren't many that are doing it as well as Quantum Break did it. Also, if you're really ticked off about the facial animations in Mass Effect Andromeda, go and play Quantum Break. It's more than a year old now, and a year older than Mass Effect. And the facial animations, way, way better, guys. Way better. So go and check out Quantum Break. It is really, really good, especially if you're into third-person action games. I will say there's a lot of language, and it's fairly violent at times, so not one that you're going to want to play around the kids, but you know, it's a shooter, so that should probably go without saying. I've also had some other time to play games that doesn't work as well for Quantum Break, so I started checking out Indigo Prophecy. This game is old, guys. It's from 2005, I think. Oh my gosh, that was a PlayStation 2 game. Yeah, it was a PlayStation 2 game. I bought a remastered version of it, a remastered PC version for fairly cheap recently on Steam, and I've been checking that out. This is another one of those games that, like, this was like one of the godfathers of like super narrative heavy, narrative driven games with, you know, that's all about the story and figuring out what's going on here. It's not like, it's not as engrossing as like Life is Strange was for me, but it's been a really cool story and I am really enjoying it. I'm only like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours into it. It's like a 10-hour game, but it's been pretty cool so far. But a little depressing, like the little tutorial mission. They talk about how one of the mechanics, you know, like we're used to seeing like life meters and different meters for different resources in games. The only meter in this game is for the mental state of the characters. Yep, your mental state. And they say in the tutorial, like, if your mental state drops too low, it could lead a character to suicide. Like, that's the level of mental state that we're talking about in this game. So, like, this is not a happy-go-lucky game. This is absolutely a, you know, there's creepy, weird stuff going on, and this dude thinks he's going crazy, and you need to figure out what the heck is going on. But it's been really intriguing. Now, I mentioned I've been watching hockey, and that's been fairly easy to do up until Sunday, which is when the NHL regular season ended. Once the regular season ends, the NHL TV subscription thing doesn't work anymore, because then every game in the playoffs is nationally televised, and they don't do nationally televised games. They don't get the rights to those. So I had to find a different way. And I told you guys last week I was probably going to check out Sling TV. So I did. I did the trial of Sling TV, even signed up for the $10 extra sports thing so I could get the NHL Network, because one of the last games of the season that the Penguins were playing was going to be on NHL Network. So I watched a couple of games, not completely, but I had no issues with the streams. It worked really, really well for me. This isn't the most thorough test, because I've only watched a couple of things so far, but it's working really well. They've got an Xbox app, they've got a Windows 10 app, they've got an Android app, they've got Roku, they've got Apple TV. It's pretty much on everything that you would want to be able to watch this type of service on. And like I said, there's a free 7-day trial. They've got a few different packages that you can choose from. It's working well. It's going to cost me $25 a month, which isn't terrible, I guess. I'm only going to do it for a month or two. I'm hoping to, like I said, hoping the Penguins are lifting the cup in June. So hoping for two months so much that I decided to go for their promo, where if you pay for 2 months in advance, they'll send you a free Roku streaming stick. I think it's the stick. I don't know. It's some fairly low-end Roku. I don't have any Rokus, so what the heck? Let's take a free Roku. So I did that today, and like I said, this is how I'm going to be watching hockey. So I will have a pretty decent amount of experience with it as the weeks go on to let you guys know how well it works out for me. But so far, it's worked out great. I have no complaints other than, you know, it doesn't do DVR, but you can enable that. But I'm not sure that I care, because I'm really only watching it for hockey, and I'm not really going to be DVRing hockey. So There you go. Sling TV. I will say the schedule came out on Sunday or Monday for what the playoffs were going to look like. And I bought paid for Sling TV thinking, well, all the games are going to be on NBC Sports. Yeah. In the first round of the playoffs, there's a lot of games, a whole lot of games, and they can't all be on NBC Sports. So for the Penguins, none of them are on NBC Sports. This left me in a little bit of a predicament because the first game is on USA, not a big deal. USA is included in Sling Blue, the package that I signed up for. Game two, NHL Network. Didn't really want to pay $10 extra for one game. And then games three and four are on CNBC. That's one of their news networks. That might be like their financial news network. I don't know. Who the heck watches CNBC? Nobody. That's who. You know how I know that? Because it's not available on anything. You can't get CNBC from Sling TV. I think you can get it from PlayStation View, but I didn't really want to deal with signing up for another trial for that service just to be able to watch those two games. Because by the time the second round rolls around, there's going to be half as many teams, which means half as many games, and a far greater chance that my Penguins are going to be on NBC Sports. So I was a little concerned, but I got really, really lucky here, guys. I live in Ohio. Penguins, their first round, they're playing against the Columbus Blue Jackets. All those games on Fox Sports Ohio. I get that with Sling Blue. So this works. But I say all of this not to bore you with details, but to point out that some of this stuff is still tricky with these online streaming packages. We're getting more and more options, which is great because they're forcing them all to be more competitive to keep the prices reasonable and to offer more and more channels. But none of it is like it's still not cable TV where you just give your cable provider $1 billion a month and they give you everything. That's not how it is with any of these guys, but it is cheaper for the most part. So check them out. They might give you exactly what you need and you could save a fair amount of money. And at least with Sling, it's working out pretty well for me so far. But I do know that, you know, the service has been out for more than a year and the early months, it was rough for people. But, you know, heck, has it been over 2 years now? I don't remember when it was that we saw this at CES. It might have been 2015, but it was rough for a little while there. It hasn't been for me now, but I will say there is one other thing to consider. With cable providers, you can use your cable credentials to log into the apps of these channels fairly frequently, and that's more true if you've got a big name cable provider like a Fios or a Comcast or, you know, something like that. And that's true in some instances for Sling TV, but for whatever reason, whatever licensing agreement reasons, you can't log into NBC Sports' network with Sling TV credentials. You can log into ESPN with them. So it goes both ways, but that's just another thing to check out if you're, or at least to consider if you're looking into these different pay TV streaming internet provider things. You know, and that's another thing I was thinking about over the last week. What are we supposed to call these guys? Because forever we had cable and satellite TV. And then we got things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu. And we started calling those over-the-top services because they're coming over the top of your cable stuff. But that's not really what this is. So we need to come up with a word for this. And I don't know that anybody else has come up with a word for it yet. So we should do that. So guys, let us know what you think we should call these services. Reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Josh Pollard. Website's at DigiMediaZone. If you want to just tell Richard, maybe you don't want to tell me, he's at Richard Gunther. You can also like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/theDMZ. Let us know. Also, you know, let us know what you guys have been up to and what you think of the Windows 10 Creators Update and how well that's working out for you guys. And then tell us in real time when we go to record the show live next week, probably Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, but follow us on Twitter to know for sure when that show is going to be, because that's going to do it for episode 403. I'm Josh Pollard, and I'll be back next week for episode 404. Until then, adios.